I can't remember the face of the first man I executed, but I do remember it took him a long, long time to die. As a governor, I have had to execute many, many, many men. Some of those executions I rejoiced in. Others grieved me deeply. But I have found with time, all the pain has numbed away. Time numbs so much pain and remorse. But even after all of these long, many, many years, there is still one death, one execution that haunts me to this very day. I am Pontius Pilate, governor, procurator of Judea, a Roman among Romans. And I know it is strange that I, a Roman citizen, am here talking to you in Gaul amongst a mass of barbarians. But if there's one thing outside of the Roman Empire that we Romans and you barbarians have in common, it's this. You have come to learn that if you want to get ahead in life, you have to beat life down before it beats you down. If you don't beat it down first, it will destroy you. I, like you, want my plans to go forward. The thing that frustrates me and you the most is when my plans, my ideals are ruined by someone else's incompetence, or they're just complete meltdown, acting like a toddler throwing a temper tantrum. No. If you want life, if you want to have life your way, you got to beat it down before it beats you down. Let me ask you a question. How would you respond under intense pressure? How would you respond under intense pressure? When I was a young man, I saw the rise of Emperor Tiberius. I saw him rise through the ranks. He was the greatest general Rome ever knew. He was the greatest man I had ever seen. And he was so awesome, so powerful. I knew it was right that they called Emperor Tiberius Caesar and the Son of God. He was amazing. And so when my mentor appointed me to be governor and procurator over Judea, he brought me before Caesar Tiberius himself. And Caesar sent me to Judea to bring Roman control to that difficult province. So I went. I was excited. But it wasn't long before I find I had no patience for these Jews. Oh, don't get me wrong. I appreciated their ancient God, but their rules and regulations, I didn't care. They tried to teach me what they could do and what they couldn't do as Jews. I didn't care. They were the most belligerent, rebellious group of people I had ever seen. We had to put down revolt after revolt, riot after riot. I couldn't stand these Jews. Let me give you an example. One day, I had decided to bring an aqueduct into their temple, their most holy place in the city of Jerusalem. They didn't know how to do it. We Romans did. So we built, with all the skill, this wonderful aqueduct into their temple. And how did they respond? Did they thank us? No. They revolted. We had used money from their temple treasury, and they revolted against us. There was a riot for days. Many of my men were killed. We tried to calm it down peacefully. Let me ask you a question. How do you respond to intense pressure? I'll tell you how I responded. I took all of my men and I disguised them like the rioters. I sent them through the rioting crowd. When I gave my signal, they took clubs and they bludgeoned the biggest troublemakers. And you know what? The problem went away. That's how you deal with intense pressure. You beat it, you grind it to the ground, you do whatever you have to do to get the most people on your side and to quell the masses. You do whatever you have to do to stay in control, to maintain power. One Passover, many years ago. I had gone down into my palace in Jerusalem right before Passover, because the Jews liked to riot right before Passover, it seemed. So I needed to be there to make sure that peace was kept and that they continued to follow the Roman rules. And early one morning, a group of my soldiers said that there was a group of the high priest Caiaphas' men outside, and they had a prisoner. I tried to get them to come in because it was still cold. It was early in the morning. But they wouldn't come in. They said something about uncleanliness and rites, and I didn't care. So I went outside to them. And I saw the courtyard. And I saw the courtyard before them, and there was several of the high priest Caiaphas' men, the chief priests, and a few of their temple guards. And there they held this prisoner who wasn't much to look at. He was kind of a haggard-looking man, bound together. I didn't have time for this. So I said, "What charges have you brought against this man?" And one of the chief priests said, "Governor Pilate, we would have not brought him here to you if he wasn't a dangerous criminal. Believe us." And then he stepped in closer. He said, "He says he's the king of the Jews." Judea was filled with brigands. All over Judea, there were brigands and men who called themselves kings of their little bands of criminals. This man was no more a threat to the Roman Empire than any of those. And he was in shackles, he was in chains. I began walking away from them, but I told my guards to bring the prisoner in. So they brought this Jesus in. And I sat while he stood. And as he stood before me, I said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And this nobody of a person said to me, "Who told you to ask that? Are you asking on your own? Or has someone told you about me?" I'm not a Jew, am I? I care nothing about any of this. Your own people, your own nation, your own chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? And then Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would have stopped the Jews from handing me over. But as it is, my kingdom does not have its origins here." "So you're a king then? You say that I'm a king. I was born for this. I have come here for this, to testify to the truth. All who are of the truth, listen to my voice." I thought to myself, I have here the King of Truth. How absurd! How naive! How childish! The King of Truth? What? Do you know what truth is? Do you know what truth is? Truth is whatever works, whatever gets the most people to follow you, whatever makes the problems go away. That's what truth is. And here I have the King of Truth before me. I said to him, "What is truth?" I went out to the people. And as I stepped out into the courtyard, the crowd had grown. Caiaphas must have told the Jews to grow, because there was a sea of people in front of me. And I said to him, I said to them, "I find no reason to condemn this man. Here, I'm bringing him out to you, your King, Jesus." And as I brought him out, the people began shouting and screaming. There was starting to be a riot on hand. I said, "Look, there's no reason to condemn him. There's this man can harm no one." And they began shouting at me and screaming and yelling. And they said to me, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I said, "Crucify him yourselves. There's no reason to condemn this man." So I said, "Look, it is my tradition on Passover to release to you one prisoner. So I, Pontius Pilate, your governor, procurator of Judea, servant of the Roman Empire, friend of Caesar, am releasing to you your king, Jesus, the King of the Jews. They said they didn't want him. I told you how Judea was filled with brigands and men who called themselves kings. We didn't keep people in jail that long back then. If you were arrested, we either punished you and released you, or we arrested you and executed you. We had an execution scheduled for that day. One of the men were one of these brigands that I told you about. His name was Barabbas. And they began shouting, "Give us Barabbas! Barabbas!" Now, Barabbas was a Jew. He was one of his own people, but he had killed many of his own people and robbed them. And I started arguing with them, but they kept calling him louder, and a riot was starting to break out. So finally I said, "Enough!" And I released Barabbas to them. And I told my guards to take this Jesus, the King of the Jews, and have him tortured. Do you know why? Do you know why we sell slaves naked in the open public market? It is so humiliating. It is so undignified. It pulls a person down into nothing. It tells them that they are absolutely worthless. The shame is so great. The humiliation is so big. They will never cause a problem again. They lose the will to fight because they know that they are worthless. That is also why we torture prisoners. I don't know whether the physical pain or the public humiliation is worse. But I knew after this, no one would ever follow this would-be king again. So I came out to the people and I said, "I find no reason to charge him. Here, behold the man." And my soldiers brought him out. And he was a bloody mess. Mostly naked, except for a purple robe my soldiers had draped over him to mock him. And they had made a crown of thorns and stuck it on his head in mock ridicule of his kingship. He had no problem. He served. Whatever problem the Jews had, they certainly couldn't want him now. He would never have power or influence again. He was utterly humiliated. So I said to them, "I'm releasing him to you." And they cried out, "No, crucify him. The man has done nothing wrong. Crucify him. I see no reason to charge him. He's not a danger to you or certainly to Rome. Crucify him." And then one of the chief priests yelled. He said, "We have a law. And our law says because this man has called himself the Son of God, he must die." The Son of God. Son of God? Like Tiberius? Surely not. There's no way. Son of God. But what if? What if he was the Son of God? And I just had him whipped. I had my soldiers bring Jesus into me, and I stood face to face with him. And I said, "Where are you from?" And he just stood there, and he wouldn't answer me. He wouldn't answer me. Didn't he know that I alone had the power of life and death in Judea? No one else. So I said to him, "Don't you know that I have the authority to release you or to crucify you, and yet you stand there, and you don't answer me?" And then Jesus said, "The only authority you have has been given to you from above. That is why the greater sin is with the one who handed me over to you. I looked at this man. I looked at this man. Surely he was not a king. Surely he was not a son of God. I looked at him, and there before me stood this bloodied mess of a Jew. Certainly he couldn't be the son of God. I saw Tiberius. I saw Tiberius on the battlefield. There before me stood a man among men, a conqueror, a hero, not this. I met a resolution right there. I decided right then and there I would release him. I did not know if this man indeed was the Son of God, but I would dare not risk the wrath of deity for having him crucified, let alone tortured. So I went out to the people, and I told them, I will not crucify this man. He has done nothing wrong. And the people shouted, you are no friend of Caesar. He says he's a king. No king is a friend to Caesar. And I said, he's harmless. Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him yourselves! Crucify him! They shouted. It went on like that for I don't know how long. But as I argued and the riot started and I looked at this innocent man, I said, no, I will not crucify him. I will not condemn him. I am going to release him. And then they said something. One of the chief priests, maybe one of Caiaphas's men, maybe it was Caiaphas himself, I don't know, but they said something that changed everything. One of them shouted, and he said, we have no king but Caesar. And the crowd began to chant that, saying that phrase. Do you understand what he was saying? For years, my predecessors, for years, the Roman Empire had tried to control Judea, had tried to control the Jews, and riot after riot, insurrection after insurrection, we failed. And now these people stood and were telling me, if I just crucified this one man, they would submit to Rome. They would surrender to Rome. Finally, I would have power. Finally, I would have control. And all I had to do was to condemn one man, even an innocent one. But I realized it was better for one man to die so that the Roman Empire could have its power. How would you respond to the pressure? How would you respond to that intense pressure? I sat on my judgment seat before all the people. And I looked at Jesus and I said, to the cross you will go. And my men took him. They would have beaten him again, stripped him naked, drive his hands and feet into a cross, and hang him in a public place for everyone entering and exiting Jerusalem to see. I wrote a sign. It says, King of the Jews, in three languages, and had it placed above his cross. Caiaphas objected, but I didn't care at that point. The riot was over. And as this Jesus died, in a short 3 hours, it was finally over. It was all except it wasn't over. A few days later, there became reports all throughout Jerusalem that this Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, as they said. That he'd come back to life and that people had seen him. I didn't believe it. Not for a moment, not for an instant. But now, all of these many, 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 many years later, his followers only grow, even all the way out to here in Gaul. Even many of you barbarians are followers of Jesus. I will I will live out my days in exile. Caesar Tiberius is dead. Jesus, the King of the Jews, is alive. Don't be like me. Don't be like me. I thought I was Jesus' only hope, and it turns out he was mine. Don't be like me. How should you respond to intense pressure? How should you respond to intense pressure? You should respond to intense pressure by siding with Jesus, no matter the cost. By siding with Jesus, no matter the cost. How can you see the truth? How can you recognize the truth and then condemn the truth and walk away and still live a life worth living? Don't be like me. Don't be like me and think that Jesus didn't matter and doesn't matter and he couldn't be the Son of God and he certainly isn't a king. Don't be like me. What you do with Jesus is the most important thing you will do in this life and in the life to come. It might be. It might be too late for me, but it's not too late for you. Whatever intense pressure you face in life, go to Jesus, take his side, no matter the cost. Jesus was the King of the Jews. Jesus was. Jesus is the Son of God.